I am so thankful to be a part of this church family. I am so thankful to be in worship here at Azalea City today with you all. I am so blessed to be the minister of this church. I'm just excited about the things that are going on. I'm also excited as I stand up here and I look over and see my brother Jerry standing to sing that song. Great to have you back, brother. We have been praying for you, and I hope very soon that knee is better than you'll ever imagine. But what a blessing it is to see you this morning. Church, it is so good to see you all. I know we have some folks that are out of town today, but I am so thankful you all are here. There are so many good things going on, and I just have to tell you, there's a lot more exciting things coming as of today and into the future. But first of all, I've got to tell you some good news about there is a couple in our presence today who are expecting a baby. It's always a fun time, isn't it? Always like to get you to think about who that might be. This is a second child for them. So that just took away some, right, maybe? It is the dad's birthday today, so on his birthday, we're going to announce that Alex and Natalie Teague are expecting their second baby. So happy birthday, brother. Asher, good luck, man. Good luck, buddy. Good luck to them, right? Now, what an exciting time. I love Alex and Natalie. By the way, doing a great job not only here, but also over at Mobile Christian, their bright lights, and so what a blessing your family is to us and to so many others. And so we'll continue to pray for Natalie as this child grows and develops into what God wants them to be. And so I'm so proud of them. I'm also proud because we have a lot of momentum going on. And I'm going to ask you today to pray about it, and we're going to take and pray about it as a church because that is our sermon today. We're talking about strength around here, and we're going to be talking about prayers. But all the ministries that are happening here, there's kind of a domino effect going on. I mean, you can feel the ripple effect. George and I and Justin and I talked about that on the podcast this past week. By the way, you can still watch our Edified podcast. That is happening every week. And hey, by the way, Justin Wilkerson is back there. He wants no attention for it. But y'all pat that guy on the back. He is gifted. He is taking our Edified podcast and he's sprucing that thing up, and it's professionally done. I mean, he's got two angles, and so y'all check that out. So we appreciate him. But we talked about the ripple effect. We talked about momentum. All right, we started our men's ministry around here. We're growing. We've grown every week when we've been in there, and that's going to continue to grow. We've got shirts in the making. We've got some going to houses. We got a lot of things going on with that. Well, our ladies who are already super involved and super busy said, hey, we want to do something more. We have shut-ins. We have those who aren't able to be here. We have those who are sick, those who are hurting, that quite frankly, sometimes maybe some slip through the cracks and we don't intend that to happen. But our ladies got together. And by the way, this is not just for ladies. Let me say that because I'm going to be an active participant in this as well. But they said, hey, we want to start this heart-to-heart thing. And let me just read you a little bit about it first. It's the heart-to-heart encouragement ministry, okay? We've been challenged to examine ourselves repeatedly this year, okay? We're trying to renew ourselves, right? Reinvent different things. As a result of that examination, we discovered that one of the areas that we could improve on is to make sure that our members, our visitors, as well as other brothers and sisters in the body know that they are well loved. Don't we need love? Don't we need that relationship, that sense of community that Jeff mentioned this morning? We don't want anyone to feel like they are alone or not thought of. Boy, that's a deep statement right there. Many are already actively using their gift of encouragement in various ways, and we are so thankful for their example for us to follow. So a new ministry for us will be the heart-to-heart encouragement ministry. While this is primarily an encouragement card outreach, it can also be an opportunity to visit, call, I'd say text, Facebook message, however else we can put in there, or meet the needs of those individuals we seek to encourage. Here's how it will work. As we are made aware of individuals who want to be touched with this ministry, a weekly list will be compiled. This list will be sent either by email, text message, or a hard copy will be provided in the ladies' Bible class on Wednesdays. Please emphasize... Oh, I'm reading the parentheses. I'm not supposed to read that. I already told you. This is not just for women. This is for men and teenagers and everybody, okay? Please sign up on the form, which is in both foyers, with your name, phone number. That's if you want to receive text and or email address. You'll also find cards and envelopes, I'll talk more about those in a moment, which are provided for you to use. Please provide your own postage. We can do that, right? Of course, you may also use your own cards. What we need to do is if you know of someone that needs some encouragement, that needs some uplifting, that needs something, please let the office know. Or you can let Margaret East know of anyone who we want to be blessed by this new ministry. This is not to take away from what's going on in Sunday afternoon for the Master either. This is in addition to that, okay? We can't get enough encouragement, folks, right? Here are a few scriptures I found that we can reference right here. I'm reading everything on the teleprompter today. John 13:35 could be our motto. Here's what how it reads. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other, build each other up just as you are already doing. Hebrews 10:23-24. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. I love that, don't you? If your gift is to encourage others, then what? Don't bury it. Use it to encourage others. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's Romans 12:8. And I really like this one. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. So let me say this. If you haven't encouraged somebody because you're lazy, then we gotta quit being lazy. But if you're timid, let me tell you, this is a great way to get through that timidness. Okay, there are different ways to encourage. This is a rather easy one, in my opinion, but an impactful one. Our ladies in the office designed these cards and made them, and so they're in the foyer. There is the list, okay? That's our good-looking logo on there. You put your words, right? You put your words. You put your heart. You show your heart. It can be as long as this. There's also some back. It can be a few words, however it is. And then on the back, of course, it has our address. And we may add a verse to that in the near future as well. But please know that's a great ministry, and I think it's very important for all of us to be a part. Thank you, ladies, for taking that direction. And let's all make sure that we're doing our part to encourage and be a strength to others. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe I am a product of the power of prayer. I believe that my mom, my dad, prayed for me, and many others did. Grandparents and others have prayed for me. Aunts, uncles have prayed for me. This church has prayed for me. You still pray for me. And by the way, please don't stop ever. But because of that, you know, some time ago when I was 16 years old, my heart was pricked, and I became a child of the King. And so since then, I've decided I wanted to walk, not only walk in His ways, but preach. And, you know, I always wanted to be a part of my home church, and I always wanted to be a part of Mobile Christian, which did so much for me as well. And I've been blessed to do that. Okay. And I hope that I'm blessed the rest of my life. Okay. This is where I want to be. This is where I hope God wants me to be. And I hope you want me to be. But I believe because of prayer, that's why I'm here. If you'd have told me at 14 and 15 years old that one day you'd be the preacher at Azalea City Church of Christ, I would have said you're crazy, because honestly, I'm timid. I know that doesn't seem like it, okay? But if I had my rathers, I'd rather be in a corner somewhere and not really talk. I mean, that's just my normal nature. I've forced myself out of that. I'm just being real with you. I do not like to talk on the phone. I'd rather text, to be completely frank with you. I'd rather write a card. You know, it's just, that's just me. That's just who I am. But I'm able to be here today because many others have prayed me up. And I bet you have similar stories. I would imagine that you all have similar stories that you're here today because there's strength in prayer. I want you to turn in your Bibles to my favorite prayer. You know where I'm going already if you know me well enough. The prayer of Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 19. We're specifically going to read verses 14 through 18 today. And I've used this many times, but it never gets old. To me, it's always impactful. Someone shared this with me, and it's worked. In fact, I believe that my son and my daughter are here today because of this passage of Scripture. When we were going through a time when we didn't know if we were ever going to have children, and we didn't know if God wanted us to, I felt like I'd prayed all the prayers. I heard this lesson. And man, there's strength in these words. 2 Kings 19 now, beginning in verse 14. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers. Now let me tell you about that letter. It's a letter from Sennacherib, who is the king of Assyria. He is bad to the bone. You know what that statement means? He is annihilating everyone. If Sennacherib and the Assyrians came calling, you better take charge, take heed, get out of Dodge, do something. Because everywhere his feet are going, everywhere he says, I'm going to conquer, he's doing that. So guess what? Israel, you're up. Judah, you're up. Here comes Sennacherib through his messengers and he says, hey, here's the scroll. And it simply says, you're next, right? In so many words. Okay? So he delivers that message. Hezekiah gets it. He read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And he said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? What a beautiful scene, right? That's where he was dwelling. You are God, and you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands. That's these other nations. He just threw their gods in the fire. He said, but those were not true gods. You are wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Boy, I love that. I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of great prayers in the Bible, and I know Jesus' prayer in John 17 would probably be the tops of strength, but there is strength in that prayer. Let me tell you how that worked. Okay, Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, okay, and he took the letter. Now, I don't know what, I mean, we could have what all the letters said, but in Terry's terms it said, hey, you're next, signed Sennacherib, right? I'm coming to destroy you. I'm coming to kill you. I'm coming to take over your land. So Hezekiah, king of Israel, king of Judah here now, he says, hey, I don't know what to do. Boy, don't we need leaders like that? I don't know what to do. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask God. So he takes that letter, the scroll. I love the visual, right? And he, you know how a scroll has to be opened. He spreads it out before the Lord. He gets on his knees and he says, God, take care of Sennacherib. Take him out. Take him out so that you will be glorified. You know what God did? He sent an angel, the angel of the Lord. That angel of the Lord killed in one swipe 100,000 plus of the Assyrian army. And it got so bad that Sennacherib's own children turned on him and killed him. And all the people knew that God was the true God. My question to you is, do you believe there is strength in prayer? Because there is. There is. And I want you and I to leave here knowing the strength that is in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, you may want to turn there as well. We have what is known as the whole armor of God. I love this. I mean, this is vacation Bible school worthy. This is outdoor Bible worthy. There's a lot of different things that happen with this type of sermon, right? There's a lot of things that happen with this type of imagery. Remember, he talks about it. You really can't see it there, but I thought whoever designed this picture, it's pretty cool because he has on the helmet of salvation, right? And with that means heaven needs to be on our brains, I believe, all the time. I think it's pretty awesome that we have what we have on our brain. I mean, our brains are amazing, really, the way God designed them. It's amazing. But we need on our mind heaven. But then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness, okay? What does that do? It covers the heart. It covers these organs, these major organs. So what needs to be in my heart? Doing right in the sight of God. Doing the good things in life. Then he says, gird your waist with truth. The way I think about that is this. I know I'm a little more long-waisted than long-legged, okay? But this is kind of the center of my body. So he said, center your life in the truth of God's Word. Then he on his feet, he's got the gospel of peace. What are we standing on? We're standing on the best news of all time. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have the shield of faith, right? That shield that's able to quench the fiery darts that Satan's throwing at us. And then we have an offensive weapon, right? That's the sword of the Spirit. And I've always said we have one offensive weapon. And so many people have said we have one offensive weapon. But upon further look, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 15 and following just to get the idea. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There it is. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 defensive weapons. And one offensive weapon. But I'm here to tell you today that in the armor of God, there's a bonus weapon. If you keep reading. Verse 18. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He said, yes, you have the sword of the Spirit, but folks, we've got a weapon that so many are not tapping into, and that is the awesome power of prayer. We've got the power of prayer. We've got the sword, but we've got an inline communication with the God of existence. And we've got to find strength in that. We've got to tap into that. And so I want to encourage us today, whatever state we're in, to find strength in prayers. In James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we have one of the most beautiful, I guess, formulas, if you will, plans laid out about the avenue of prayer. Beginning in verse 13, James writes these words in chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he illustrates that in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again because that was too long. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You see, James is saying there, you need to tap into the strength. You need to tap into the power. There's power in prayer. Hezekiah said, I don't know what else to do. So he spread it out, and he got on his knees, and he begged God, and God heard, and God answered. Today, do you want to be strong? I told you, ever since I was a little kid, I just wanted to be strong. I just wanted to lift weights, and I wanted to be like these superheroes I saw on TV. But that's changed because I want to be like the heroes I find in this book. And they're strong. They're strong spiritually. So today, I want to ask you, are you a person of prayer? Are you a person of prayer? Do you have a strong prayer life? If you do not, by chance, Theo said it beautifully in his prayer, I don't want you to leave here without knowing God, without knowing who He is, without knowing Him better, without knowing your will, and knowing this bonus weapon that He gave us when He told us to pick up that sword. Number one, when I tap into the strength that is found in prayer, you know what I'm going to find? I'm going to find strength even during suffering. In James 5:13, again, it reads, is anyone among you suffering? Now, at first glance, we might think of physical suffering, but there's so much more to it when he writes that. You see, there was a hard time in the life of the Christians then. They were under persecution. They were under Roman leadership. The Roman Empire was ruling the world. And with that mindset, that there were Caesars that stood on the throne that did not like Christianity. There were Caesars, there were awful, awful men. Men like Tiberius. Men that just were like Nero. Just so awful. They hated Christians. They were taking Christians and they were lighting the streets by pouring oil on them and lighting them on fire. They were trying to kill Christianity in so many ways because they were taking Christians and either boiling them in water alive or in some type of hot oil. It's gross, I know, but they were taking them and skinning them. They were just trying to kill it off. So when James says, are you suffering? He didn't say, hey, here's the magical pill. Hey, here's the magical book. Hey, here's the magical formula. Actually did give him a good formula. He said, hey, tap into the offensive weapon prayer. Today, hey, I'm so thankful that I'm not going through that, aren't you? But let's not kid ourselves. There's still suffering going on in Christianity. There's still hard times going on. Are you suffering because your bills are too high? Hey, you know, maybe when you had you went to buy that house or whatever or try to buy those groceries, you might have had some income and now something's happened and you don't have the income you once did and you feel just all this pressure all the time. And you're holding on to that. And you're not boiling in hot water, but boy, it feels like it at times, mentally, right? So what I'm asking you to do today, that question is to you. Are you suffering? Then we need to spread it out. What about marriages? Man, I'm so thankful that God designed marriage and He designed the family. And some of you have gone into those marriages with those same expectations, but then things didn't happen well. And maybe there's turmoil in the home right now, or maybe there's turmoil that is left over because of previous turmoil, and children are hurting, and mamas are hurting, and daddies are hurting, and grandparents are hurting, and so many are hurting, right? You know, and all this is just a mess, and it feels like I'm on fire in a street because I'm suffering. I need to ask you, have you truly spread that out and tapped into that offensive weapon? Maybe it is physical. Maybe right now you're facing some type of disease. Maybe it's terminal. And maybe you hurt all the time. You know, maybe you're going through some type of pain that you just, man, people just don't understand. And listen, maybe you are spreading it out and you're thinking, hey, God's not hearing me. But He is. He is, I promise. When trouble comes, a lot of times people turn away from God. You know that? When trouble comes, a lot of times people turn and run. They turn against Him. Aren't you glad Hezekiah didn't say, God, why in the world did you do this to us? God, I can't believe we're your people. I am trying to do things the right way, and you have brought Sennacherib to me? How dare you, God? Well, what about Jesus? God, what do you mean? You can call 10,000 angels right now and take this away from me. He didn't pray that in the garden, did he? He didn't say, God, I can't believe you. He just said, God, if it be your will, take it away. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. God didn't take it away, by the way. But He did send an angel to give him strength. He didn't take Sennacherib away with the threats, but He took him away with the power of prayer. You see, folks, I don't know exactly. Maybe some of you told me what you're going through. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's whatever it is. It's some type of suffering and you feel so much hurt. Don't turn away from God. Turn towards Him. That scripture doesn't say this. Is any of you in trouble? Pray and God will take that trouble away. It doesn't say that. But it does say pray. He didn't take it away from Jesus. But He gave Jesus what He needed to get through it. I don't think Jesus faces the cross physically as a man without that angel coming and giving Him strength. I'm not saying today if you spread it out before the Lord, He's going to take your disease away. He's going to give you a job. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But He's going to make a way. I believe that with all my heart. Because there's strength in prayer. And He gives you strength during suffering. Jesus Christ said Himself, you know John 16:33 by now, right? In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. How in the world can I be happy when I'm going through trials? Because I've overcome this world. And that's who we're tapping into today. You see, trouble's part of life. It is. Jesus said that. But in the middle of it all, we have a choice. We can allow God to use it to mold us into what He wants us to be, or we can allow it to beat us down into something less than God's will for our lives. James says we choose the outcome of our troubles by turning toward God in the middle of trouble. Is any one of you in trouble? He or she should pray. But there's more. There's strength during suffering when we tap into the strength in prayer. But we also find strength during struggles. Now, I want you to understand, those are very similar. Because if I'm suffering, I'm struggling. But what I talked to you about in that first, just a moment ago, was an outward shell, right? Outward things. Things that maybe our face show. Now I'm going to talk about the things that are inward. Boy, I'd love to tell you that if today you walk the aisle and you confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and you're immersed into this water for the remission of your sins, and you come up out of that water, then you'll never have another struggle. I'd love to tell you that, but it's just not, that's not true. If anybody does, it's not true. But what I can tell you is those same struggles you may still have, now you've got a way out of them. Because you've contacted Jesus Christ. And you've contacted God Almighty. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, these words are written. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do we really believe that? Do we really practice that? Paul's doing it from a prison cell. Where are we today? You know, as I go around this congregation, and I won't call any names, but I know there are some in here struggling right now to forgive themselves. You are. And if you've talked to me recently, I'm not talking to you. I know of several people that's going through. Maybe you sinned. Maybe you've been forgiven by God, but you are the one who's still holding on to it today. And that tears you up. Trust me, it does. I know, I've been there. Right now, you're struggling with that. But today, we can spread it out. We can give it to God. And we can allow that suffering to be taken off of us. That struggle to be taken off of us. There are some of you in here today that struggle with you. Low self-esteem is not something we talk about a lot. Especially from a man's standpoint. Why? Because we're men, right? That's a woman thing. No, it's a man thing too. There were times when I was a teenager, I literally, I know this seems weird and harsh. I'm just telling you, I'm a real human being. There were times when I would look in the mirror and want to claw my face off because I did not like what I saw. To this day, I struggle with low self-image. Not like I once did, but it's still there. The devil still can rear his head. And some of you have low self-esteem. There may be teenagers here that you're struggling with that because the world paints beauty this way. But I'm going to tell you right now, today, God thinks you're the most beautiful thing and it's ever been in existence. You're His prized jewel. You're created in His image. And today, if I'm struggling with loving myself, I need to spread it out and say, God, take it away. There's some in here struggling with negative thoughts, with emotional baggage, with mental struggles. Y'all know now I've talked about my depression on numerous occasions. I'd love to tell you I don't have it anymore. Brother Virgil can attest to this. You think, hey, I'm pretty good. And some of y'all feel that way, okay? Some of you get to feeling pretty good and you're like, I don't want to take medicine because I'm weak if I take medicine, and so I'm going to put it away, and then you start struggling again. Well, let me tell you something. One time I was using a pharmacy here in town, and they're, you know, a smaller pharmacy, and so their electronics went down. And I went 4 days without my medication. And for about 3 of those, I felt good. But then that one day, I was crying hysterically. I called Michelle, and I was just crying. I didn't have my medicine in my system. It had gotten out of my system, and I don't know what was going on, but I was just crying because I was sad, and I was miserable, and thanks be to God, Brother Virgil called me out of the blue just to check on me. What a great elder, right? I've got great elders. And bless his heart, he wasn't prepared to get all that. But I just don't know what to do, Brother Virgil. I mean, and he just... But ultimately, I got my medicine in me. It balanced me out. So I'd love to tell you that I don't have that struggle anymore. But I still take my medicine every day. And I'm just saying that there are others of us in here. We're just real people trying to get to a real place called heaven, right? And we need to spread those out and bear one another's burdens and help one another. And man, that's just a few of the things I could list today. But Paul said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And I'm going to take him up on that. Then finally this morning, there's strength in prayer. So we'll have strength during suffering. We'll have strength during struggles. And we'll even have strength while we're unsettled. There are some today, you're still looking for direction in your life. And I'm not just talking about our young people. I'm talking about our older ones. Whatever state we're in today, if you're not where you need to be, maybe you're in between this and you're in between that and you don't know God, open this door, and God, I really don't understand, and everything else, and everything's just in an uproar and a tizzy and you're unsettled. Well, I'm going to give you some strength. This comes from the Word, but it also comes through that bonus weapon, prayer. Listen to these seven things. If you're unsettled today, number one, tell God that you trust Him with all your heart and that you don't want to rely on your own understanding. Then commit to acknowledging Him in all your ways and let Him know you're trusting Him to make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Number two, claim God's promise to instruct you, to teach you in the way you should go, and to counsel you with His eye upon you. Psalm 32, 8. Number three, affirm to God that all your ways are pure in your own eyes and that you have trouble seeing your own errors. Ask Him to weigh your spirit and examine your motives. Proverbs 16, 2. Number four, echo Jesus' words, I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Let God know today that you just want what He wants and ask Him to reveal that to you in His timing. John 5, verse 30. Number five, repeat these words of the psalmist. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Psalm 143, verse 8. Number six, let God know that you're asking for guidance, seeking His will, knocking on the door of heaven. Claim His promise to give to those who ask, reveal to those who seek, and open to those who knock. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And finally, ask God to teach you His way and commit to walking in His truth. Beg Him to give you an undivided heart to fear His name. Psalm 86, verse 11. Folks, I want you to know that I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in it with all my heart. I believe I'm a product of it, and I try to practice it. But I don't want to practice it and preach on it and not get out of here without doing it. So what I want to ask us to do, it's a little bit out of the norm, but I want you to reach over and hold the hand of the person next to you. And we can't do the whole congregation, but I want to come out here and I'm going to hold my sister's hand right here. And I want us to go to God right now in prayer. Father, we come to You acknowledging that You are the Almighty. acknowledging that you are awesome, that you are the God of creation, that you are the God of heaven, and that you, Father, as we ask you today, are the Lord of our lives. Father, we come before you through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. As baptized believers, knowing that we are the church and that we have this avenue to come before you. Father, we know there have been times you have stirred up love and good works. We know that you have shaken the foundations. And Father, today, as Hezekiah did so long ago, Father, when Sennacherib entreated upon him and his comfort and his family of Judah and Israel, Father, we recognize the devil is entreating on us. And Father, we come before you now, and I'm going to ask those who are praying with me in their own personal prayers, Father, to take whatever it is today. And Father, we're spreading it out before you. And whether it's suffering, whether it's struggling, or whether we're unsettled, Father, we lift that to you today at this time. Father, if there are those who are struggling with finances, those who are struggling in their marriage, those who are struggling with health, those who are struggling with uncertainty, those who are struggling with low self-esteem, those who are struggling with anxiety, depression, those who are struggling with whatever it may be right now, Father, we spread that out before you. And Father, we have full confidence that you're hearing our prayers. Because we recognize that the prayer that's fervent, the prayer of the righteous, Father, we recognize those avail very much. Father, I ask that you be with our men's ministry, that it will continue to grow. Father, I ask that you be with our heart-to-heart ministry, that it will open up the doors of encouragement and kindness. And those who may not be able to be with us at all times, Father, that they'll know how much they're loved and appreciated. Father, for Sunday afternoon for the Master, for all the ministries we have going on here, Father, for those like Ellen mentioned earlier that we need teachers, Father, those that are willing to step up, Father, I pray that they will. Father, for October the 27th, Father, we know we'll have 400 here. Father, help us to have the courage to ask. Help us to have the courage to bring. And Father, put on my heart the sermon to preach, so that when people leave here, they'll know how much you love them, how much Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, how much this church, that they're loved. Father, for those who are hurting today, that need to respond publicly, give them the courage to walk these aisles. Father, for those who need to be baptized and become your child, help them not to leave here without making that decision. Father God, we love you so much, and we ask you to shake the walls of the Azalea City Church of Christ. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Come right now together. We stand and sing.